this is going to be great.
Welcome to the White House Pod with David A.R. White.
Well, welcome to the White House Pod. Dare to dream. What's your dream? I am sitting next to a legend. He comes from a family of legends. He has done more movies than I even know, and I can't even wait to find out about it. I met him at a time in my life that I never would have imagined where I met you. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Michael R. Norris.
Mr. White,
the fanfare that just went off, and the clapping of all the audience extraordinary.
One of those names sounds a little familiar, but I'm not sure.
Mike?
No. Norris, I think. Well, did we meet in Vegas?
We met in Vegas.
I was there working on Rush Hour. Yeah. You were there for something.
I don't know. It was right around the time of Mercy Streets, I think. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And I got to go on set of Rush Hour. I think, Monty Perlin, our stunt guy, Perlin, was working on that show. And I was going to visit him at what, do you remember the where were we? We were
the
at
the Dunes?
It was one of the casinos.
Yeah.
And was it Rush Hour the first one you were working on?
I think one was the second one, I think. Or the first one, I'm not sure. It was a long time ago.
And I just remember I was walking in on set there. I was not in Rush Hour, for the record, but I was walking on set. Yeah, Mike was. And I hear my name called out. I think it was like a lunch, wasn't it? During lunch or something? And you said, David A.R. White. And I turned around and I was like, what? I'm on Rush Hour, for crying out loud. Who in the world would know me here? And you did, somehow.
You're number one fan.
I love that. But how did you even know? How did you hear about me? Or like, what? Where did our? How did you? Yeah.
You know what? I have no idea. I'm thinking it was from Monty, obviously.
Maybe
Monty Perlin.
Yeah.
And
you hadn't seen any of our movies at that point, had you?
No, I think I saw you on Evening Shade.
Right.
But no, I
wow,
no, because I don't think you'd made many at that point.
Not that many. I mean, I think we had done like three or four.
Yeah.
But the interesting, and I was like, oh my gosh, Mike Norris, like, you know. And then we did, and then I did a movie with you, Bells of Innocence.
Yeah.
Was our first.
That was the first time working together. Yeah.
Did we do that before the pilot thing that we shot?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
How crazy was that whole thing? It was like we were doing Walker at the time, I think. And
yeah. Texas Ranger,
yeah,
for the record.
We came up with an idea, and I go, hey, let's go make this movie. And then my dad calls me a week before we start filming and goes, hey, why didn't you ask me to be in this thing? And that changed everything. Everything changed.
What year was this? What year was, not to age ourselves, I know you guys are looking, because you're on YouTube right now. If you're not, you should do that to look at Mike Norris right now, because he's very good looking.
2000?
2000, yeah.
One?
We were a little bit younger at this point.
A lot younger.
But, around 2001.
Yeah.
Two, something like that. Right, which was right after Mercy Streets. Yeah, because I just remember getting you a call. We were talking. I think maybe we were talking before this.
This was before cell phones, I think, pretty much.
Yeah, I know. But how did I? I'm trying to remember. Like, how in the world did you call? And you didn't call my agent. You called me, didn't you?
No, right. I've never spoke to your agent.
Right.
Ever.
Well, me neither have I. Just kidding, David. But you said, hey, I got this script.
Yeah.
Dude, come out. Kerry Scott was also did you offer Kerry Scott the role before me or did Kerry Scott get the role?
I can't remember. You know, it was just something I was gonna find.
I'm just hoping that I got the role before Kerry Scott.
Yeah,
just
of
kidding.
Course you did. Of course you did.
I love you, Kerry.
It was just something I was gonna fund, we were gonna do.
Yeah.
And then literally when, you know, Dad came on it really changed everything. And
had he done a movie? Had Chuck done a movie in a while before that? Because obviously he was doing Walker at the time.
Yeah, he was doing Walker.
Yeah.
And man, that was a crazy time filming that movie.
It was one of my memories about that. Well, because also I don't. I feel like I got to know you really well on that movie, yeah. Right? I feel like well, we were in a rental car at one point in time, and I just remember we had McDonald's or something, and you got into a food fight. Literally, you were in the back. Somehow, I think you were in the back of the car. I think I was driving, and you started throwing pancakes. At Carrie Scott, I believe it was.
Well,
I
would have done that.
I think you were throwing at Carrie Scott. Like, you were throwing pancakes at Carrie Scott, and like sausages and hash browns were flying all through. And I'm thinking, going, this is a rental car. Like, we're on a production thing. And you had no respect whatsoever for the about. I mean, it was your show. But it.
Weren't we flying around in airplanes too?
We were. No, that was a different show. We were flying around in airplanes. That was the pilot episode that we shot that you had at airplanes. We'll get to all that stuff, but like I remember that, and yeah. Running out of gas during a rainstorm on in Dallas somewhere, trying to get to a set, Carrie and I. Those are my two memories. Oh, and Alan Bajon, when we did the Ferris Wheeler, he was running around with a camera to make us look like we were confused. It was kind of this horror movie, The Bells of Innocence.
The Bells of Innocence. Yeah. I don't own the rights to that now, so I don't care, to be honest with you.
Where did it go?
I don't know. Oh. It's just kind of out there.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I actually do get people who come up and say, I really enjoyed you in Bells of Innocence. And I'm always, my reaction is always like, huh.
Oh, man. It's crazy, crazy times.
I actually remember your dad like doing some kicks in that. That was a big, you know, highlight to actually be in a movie with Chuck Norris was pretty, I mean, you.
Yeah, playing
an
angel.
It was an amazing, yeah. Actually, I have another memory of that movie. I have a lot of memories. They're starting to flow back. So your dad says, hey, I want to be in the movie before production.
Yeah, we had somebody
else. Did you write
this
script, or who wrote this script?
Another guy and I kind of came up with the concept. But yeah, we had somebody cast to play the angel role, and literally
a week. Where did he go? Do you ever talk to him anymore after you replaced him with your dad?
Guess not. I think he understood when it was all said and done. But
I mean, how you can't like say no to Chuck Norris if Chuck Norris is going to be in your movie.
No, it changed everything. We were shooting on 16, and now we're shooting on 35. The budget increased exponentially, and everybody wanted more money.
I'm still waiting for my race.
Good luck with that.
All right, let's take it. Let's go back.
Okay,
you're born. You're born the oldest. There's two sons, right?
Two sons
of Chuck Norris and your mom. Was your dad at the height of his superstar career at this time when you're born? No. Did you just grow up in fame, or how does this work?
You know, it's really interesting. You know, flying into LA to come do this. Brings back a lot of memories of being a kid because I moved out of here in the 90s.
You grew up in LA?
Yeah.
Wow. In Beverly Hills or where? Where are the famous people?
We lived in Rolling Hills Estates, Palos Verdes area.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was born in Torrance. And when I was 7 years old, we moved up to Rolling Hills Estates. And really, that's where everything happened. I think my dad was kind of famous because he was a karate teacher.
Yeah.
You know, and he would do little commercials and he would be on TV shows doing something, you know, playing a karate teacher or something.
Yeah.
So there was always a little something about him that he was just kind of famous.
Did he always want to do commercials? Like,
no.
I mean, like to be when you say he was a karate teacher on karate commercials?
For his karate school.
For his school.
Mm-hmm. And
is that normal? Are karate teachers normally
this on? This is back in the 70s, early
70s. Well, even 70s. Still, like, are they doing commercials?
They were doing them back then. Local commercials. Come on down to Chuck Norris Karate School.
No, I mean, it's a super kind of idea, especially given the fact that he was a movie star in the making
yeah,
of
but
it.
Right, at this time, he was a karate fighter,
right.
A karate teacher. So that's kind of, you know, was his thing. He'd try to get students to his karate school, and you'd have to be a fighter back in those days. So, you know, I'm a
When your mom, I'm sorry to ask this, but when your mom and your dad got together, mm-hmm. like, do you know, was your mom attracted to the fact that he was a karate?
He wasn't in karate yet.
He wasn't a martial artist at
no,
that
No, he was in high school. My mom was 16 when she got married. My dad was just turned 18
when
they got married. And then he went into the military, went into the Air Force, and started karate in the Air Force.
Wow.
So when he came out, he was going to work at Northrop or one of these companies. But he got his black belt over there, and he opened up a karate school.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
Okay, so you grow up then watching your dad on commercials.
No, not watching him on commercials, but it was all about the karate school, trying to get students into the karate school. It was fascinating because when we moved up to Rolling Hills, I think I'm like 7 or 8 years old.
How much younger is your younger brother?
Two or three years younger. And that's kind of where everything changed, you know.
Aaron is your younger brother.
No,
right?
Eric. Yeah, who's
got it.
The best stunt coordinator
ever. Yeah, yeah. You know? Every show known to man, every massive show, he's the stunt coordinator.
Yeah,
okay.
Second unit director. So, but it was fascinating because we would go do these demonstrations all over the place. But also, what would happen was he would start teaching celebrities karate, Bob Barker. Steve McQueen.
Wow.
The Osmonds.
Who was the first celebrity? Like, how do you get into business with teaching celebrities? Like, somebody had to come to a studio, right, who knew people.
I was only about 7, 8, 9 years old.
Were you a martial artist at this time?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
When did you start? How young were you?
5 years old, 4 years old.
Wow.
You know, it was go to the karate school, you know, do karate classes.
You grew up in it.
Grew up in it.
Wow. You and your brother, too, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Was your mom a karate mom?
No, she was more on the business side. My mom's mom ran the karate schools. She was like the business manager of the karate schools. And, you know, he opened one up in Torrance and one up in the Valley. And it started growing, you know, so multiple schools open. And then my dad was trying to, you know, go around and teach classes and
all
the
schools. Did he have a forethought to say, I want to have, you know, like Cobra Kai right now, right? Obviously, is the on television, you know, the expansion of your studio is what you want. You want studios everywhere. Like, what did he have that goal, or did it just take off by itself?
I think it was a little bit of everything. A lot of it was just survival.
Yeah.
He's a young father with young kids, wife. Trying to make it,
you
know.
In L.A., yeah.
But this is back in the 70s when you could still live in L.A. And, you know, he was just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. But then he would, you know, I remember he got, you know, somebody asked him to be in like a part in a Dean Martin movie. Dean Martin and Sharon Tate. The Wrecking Crew.
Okay.
And be in a fight scene.
Yeah.
And that was like a big deal. And I remember him going to do that and then coming back. But then it was right back into karate, being a teacher. So the film career wasn't there yet. You know, he wasn't thinking about it yet.
Hold on. How do you go into celebrities, though? How do you go into training celebrities? Do you know where that connection came?
Well,
you got to ask your dad about
this.
Yeah,
I will.
I'm not really sure,
but, you know, I remember, you know, being a kid driving in the station wagon going to the Osmonds and then him teaching all the Osmonds. I just remember sitting on a couch.
How many Osmonds were there? Like 30?
No, there's not that many. Not that many. There are a lot of them.
There was like 8 or something.
There was seven.
Wow.
Jimmy,
okay.
Donnie.
And he's teaching the Osmonds karate.
Right in their house. Right.
Are you now, as a youngster, are you also, do you have your gi on as
no,
well?
No, I think my dad just had to take, you know, I think it was like, I got to take my kid to this thing right now.
Nobody else to watch you?
Yeah, kind of, I think. But it was amazing. Steve McQueen taught me how to ride a motorcycle.
How old are you at that time?
9, 10. Isn't that crazy? I know.
What kind of a motorcycle?
Indian. Yeah, it was an Indian, up in Indian Dunes.
Right.
And
how does that happen? Because is your dad teaching him karate, Steve McQueen karate?
Yes.
And then afterwards, he's like, by the way, I'm going to give you this karate lesson, but you got to teach my son how to ride a motorcycle.
No, I just remember my dad just goes, we're going to go up and watch Steve McQueen ride motorcycles. We're like, awesome. So we were up there watching him, and then he had these small motorcycles, tied a rope around himself, a rope onto the motorcycle, I got on it, and we went in circles. There's Steve McQueen. I'm doing circles.
Oh, my gosh.
At the time, it was really strange because I understood. I go, something amazing is happening. Through my whole life with my dad, I was very aware that something magical was happening. With my dad. I didn't know what it was at the time.
Right.
It wasn't until I was, 15, 16 years old that, he'd lost all his karate schools, flat broke, trying to figure out what to do.
Wait, where did they go?
Just, mismanaged, whatever it is.
Mother of your mom?
What, I'm not really
grandma
sure.
Grandma not really good with numbers?
Nah, I'm not really sure. I shouldn't have put it quite like that, but it was just kind of a transition.
But hard times.
Hard times, yeah. But one thing about my dad is, he's a fighter, obviously. And it was Steve McQueen. I think it was Steve McQueen he was talking to, and he goes, the karate school business is rough right now. I'm really trying to figure out what my next step is going to be.
Yeah.
And he goes, be an actor. Like, oh, no, I'm too shy. I'm too shy to be.
Was Steve McQueen a massive movie star at this time?
Massive.
Wow.
The biggest movie star. He was with Ollie McGraw at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Doing all the, yeah.
Yeah.
And Bullet. Didn't he do Bullet?
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. And he goes, do this. He goes, you kick everybody's butt and let all the actors around you talk. And you be that silent hero. And that was kind of what my dad did, took on that
and
thing.
And Steve McQueen is one of the early people who said, I always had this thing, like, I asked the person who spoke that, into your life first.
Steve McQueen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not everybody can say things like that.
Yeah, and it was funny because I was with my dad just a little while ago, and we had two totally different views on how the whole Chuck Norris thing happened.
Wow.
He was thinking it was,
that's interesting.
The start of this film he did, Good Guys Wear Black. And I'm going, no. Breaker. It was this little thing he did with all his black belts. They were all part of the movie. He was a trucker. He goes into a town, got to save his brother, something like that. I was maybe 14 years old when this is all happening.
Are you a black belt by now?
No, you know what? I hate to say it, but I can't lie. I never made it to black belt.
Yeah, why? Did you
start doing other sports?
What sports were you big at?
Football, baseball, all that.
Okay.
But, in my early 20s, and this is something I'll get to later about, the people that would show up at my dad's house after he is Chuck Norris to come train with him.
Yeah.
So what were we talking about?
Breaker.
So anyways, he makes this little low-budget movie. It comes out in the theater.
What is the thing that says, I want to make this movie?
I don't know.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember
how he started that. Was he producing this movie?
Yeah, it was this small company.
But somehow he got all his friends involved.
Somehow all his friends were together. They're going to make a movie.
Wow.
Comes out in the theaters, makes like $18 million. And like all of a sudden,
their budget was like a million or something.
$250 million.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
But big, huge success.
This is back late 70s.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, some film company gives him $1 million.
Canon? Was it Canon? Maybe?
No, it wasn't Canon yet. And he goes and does Good Guys Wear Black.
Okay.
And that thing, so now all of a sudden, we're going, wow, this is really
cool.
What's
Good Guys Wear Black? I know we're going to show this on our YouTube here. Is it? Do you remember, like, is he wearing a black gi? Or was he wearing military black? Or was he just wearing a black
military
suit?
Black.
Okay. He's in the military.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
How long was your dad in the military for?
Couple
Like two, 4 years?
4 years, yeah, whatever.
It wasn't like 16 years, or eight years, or something.
He was in Korea in the Air Force.
But he was married, too, at the same time, which is probably why he got out.
Possibly. I don't know. So he does Good Guys Wear Black, and all of a sudden, now, I can't remember what it was like, Orion comes in and wants to do a movie with him. And we're just going, we're watching all this happen, and it was like I was telling you, moving to living up there. We lived in the smallest house on a real nice street. Nice, beautiful houses.
A lot of celebrities on the street?
No, but it was in Rolling Hills, and it was a small house. And after my dad, I think, did a Force of One, it's like we got a little addition, and our house got a little bigger, you know? And we're going...
Like a garage you got? Or
no,
like another floor?
And I'm going... This is crazy.
Dad, you got to go do another movie. I'd like a bigger bedroom.
Things are changing, and I'm seeing it, and it's real exciting. And I just remember being very aware of it all.
Yeah.
And so
were you a good child, or were you not a good child during this? Like, you know, it sounds like...
Hello?
Well, it sounds like you're a really good child because you're aware of your dad and what... Like, my kids, I don't think they have any awareness of what I do or care of what I do.
But it was a different time back then. It was a different time back then. But it was funny because, you know, we had the same group of friends that we were all raised with. And, you know, I would say I was a good, bad kid.
I'd pretty much say you're still a good, bad person. No,
And so when I was in high school, I was
like to play practical jokes, Mike Norris, for the record.
I was a senior in high school, and my dad's over in Hong Kong making a movie, A Force of One, with Lou Gossett Jr.
Okay.
And I flew over there, and my mom's waiting for me in the...
Is this his third movie now?
Something? Third or fourth movie.
And he's going overseas already.
Going overseas.
Wow.
I walk in, I fly all the way to Hong Kong.
You're 15, 16?
I'm about 18 now.
Okay, you're almost out of high school.
Almost out of high school.
Have we been honing our martial arts skills at this time, or have we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to be in this movie, too?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you like, oh, my gosh, let's sign me up?
No, I'm like, this is awesome.
Have you been in a movie yet or not yet?
Yeah, I was in the Octagon. I got my SAG card on the Octagon. It was the one right prior to this. And I played my dad as a teenager
in
a flashback
scene. That's
cool. So I get over to Hong Kong, and I come through the door, and my mom's there. And my mom looks at me and goes, "Your dad's making $1 million." I was like, "Whoa!" I couldn't believe it. It was like, this was crazy. My dad's making $1 million.
How was the movie? Not good at all, but...
No, it was great. I think everything he did was great. But I never forget that moment.
That moment when she said...
The excitement of my mom, because of all the struggles they've been through. I know...
Yeah, of course.
The karate schools, it wasn't easy on them.
Right.
You know, it was a hard life.
How old is your dad at that point?
38.
Wow. Okay. He'd put in time.
Oh, yeah. It was such a beautiful accident.
Yeah.
Really, the whole thing.
Well, I mean, obviously, at that age, too, he had kids, and he was grateful and everything else.
Oh,
like,
yeah. But he always had this America, you know, good guy mentality, the John Wayne. And it was really important that's what he wanted to portray himself as, the good guy, always in his movies.
How was that, like, at home? With your dad, was it the same guy who's, you know, it's like everyday all American when he had to take out the trash?
Same guy. Yeah,
always.
He never took out the trash. He didn't do that. You know, it's so amazing thinking back on it, how unaffected I think he was by all this. You know, because
movies come out, right? All of a sudden now there's got to be red carpets going on. He's got to be going on
David Letterman, The Tonight Show.
Yeah,
he's doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And are you guys going with him to these? Are you in the back hanging out in the green room eating all the snacks?
Yeah, pretty much.
Using your karate kick to chop over all the M&Ms?
Yeah, but
Did you guys get in trouble? Like, who between you and your brother, Which one was more doing karate stuff to people that probably, not people, but doing, like, you know, breaking down a door when you probably were like, oh.
That was probably me. You know, I got in all the trouble. My brother did all the same things, came up right behind me, nothing.
And he was drafting on your trouble.
Oh, big time. Big time. But it was, so it was just amazing. You know, the whole thing was just so surreal to be a part of.
Well, and also, so you're 18 now, this changes, the trajectory changes a bit, right? Because you're like, you kind of, I'm not saying you grew up in poverty, but you grew up in smaller means.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, boom, your dad is becoming one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Yep. Yep. And then our house got real big.
Did you say the same house? He just same kept house, adding on additions.
Same house and just made it.
Nobody ever wanted to buy a new one?
No, they loved it. They loved it. We were there for like 20 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Where is that house now?
Number 7 Empty Saddle Lane, Rolling Hills Estates.
Is there somebody else in
there? It looks the same as it did when we moved out of it.
How often do you drive by this house?
Anytime I come to LA. I gotta go see it.
Will you drive by it today?
No.
Mike flew in from Texas, by the way.
Boy, did I ever.
Yeah.
And my arms are tired.
Oh, old dude. Joke, still funny. Yeah. Wait, so at what point in time do you become ornery? But a good ornery. But I mean, like, because your dad obviously started. He had to be away on doing movies, right? Like, or did you? Were you always with him when he was shooting movies?
No.
Was there ever a time when you're like, wow?
You know, he wouldn't make any movies during football season, like high school football. He'd never
when
make
you guys
movie.
Were playing?
Yeah, when my brother and I were playing, he would never work.
Would he
then.
Be at every game?
Every game.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I remember he got a video camcorder. It was like that big, you know, the
trying
first
to
one.
Stuff.
And he'd be up there on top filming.
Have you watched your footage?
Oh, yeah,
stuff?
I've got all that stuff
oh,
from
that's
playing high school football. That's
nobody ever got that footage.
40 plus years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do we have this archived in our
I'd say it's out there somewhere. Look.
Okay, so the library of Mike Norris.
Yeah, it's somewhere out there. Val's got it somewhere. Val's got it somewhere.
But how many? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was just amazing, and then you know, and everything just happened. You know, with he goes and does Code of Silence in Chicago.
Yeah.
And by this time now, I'm an actor. I'm over in Finland, me and Rennie Harlan making a movie together. And
is nepotism real?
Like, absolutely. Everything. Everything I've got is just right because of my dad.
Were they like, oh, Mike Norris, Chuck Norris's son, I 100% want to hire that guy.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, because, you know, I did 2 Delta Force movies for Canon.
Were you doing it with your dad?
No.
Oh,
they
so once
did
your
Delta Force 1 and 2.
Yeah.
They don't want to spend a bunch of money, so we're going to do it cheaper
Chuck
now,
have
and
Chuck
it's
going to
still say Norris,
yeah,
but Mike. So
wow, so you come in and you're starring in this whole franchise that your dad launched.
Yeah,
wow,
all kinds of crazy stuff.
How did we mess up the franchise, or how is Delta Just Force 3 and 4?
3 and 4, I
have we
not
watched
sure,
those?
I'm not sure I've ever seen them, but
well, they're on YouTube right now,
sure,
being viewed as we're doing this. And by the way, guys, if you're not watching this on YouTube, you got to watch this on YouTube because you're seeing Mike Norris ride around on his motorcycle being dragged by Steve McQueen. Yeah, and you're seeing him kicking in Delta Force 3.
Good old crescent kick.
Your kicks are pretty good though. You're drafting kind of with your dad's lead on going into superstardom. Hold on, we have to go back to this one little thing. You meet Bruce Lee when you're how old?
So that was during a karate tournament. My dad is fighting in the senior division. I'm fighting in the juniors.
Well, senior sounds like he's 90.
80 or 18 and above, the men's division.
Okay.
And I'm in the kids.
Yeah.
I win the kids division.
Wow. He's got to be super proud. So it's not only Chuck Norris. Is he winning his division?
Of course. He's Chuck Norris.
Right.
You know, I win and I get a picture with Bruce Lee. I'll never forget.
Why is Bruce Lee there?
It was a karate tournament. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Was he competing, Bruce
no,
Lee?
No.
Was Bruce Lee big at that time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I think it was...
Yeah, because your dad was in a Bruce Lee movie, right?
Return of the Dragon.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was before, you know...
Before he had popped.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. It was just something fun to do. They'd met in a hotel, and they just started talking, and they really got on really, really well.
Wow.
And so years later, Bruce calls my dad, says, I'm doing this movie. I want to do the biggest fight ever, and I want it to be with me and you. And my dad goes, oh, okay, great. Who wins? And he goes, well, I win. It's my movie. So my dad goes, oh, okay. And that really, for a long time, that was one of the greatest martial arts fights in
film. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's legendary. Yeah. It's iconic. Have you seen the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, where they show Bruce Lee getting beat by Brad Pitt's character, who is a stuntman, ironically. Yeah. You know, this is interesting because you got martial arts on one side, and yet you have a huge stunt legendary thing on another side. Was Bruce Lee that great of a fighter?
Well, I'm not sure he was a great fighter, but he was a great martial artist, great film martial artist.
Yeah. I mean, when your dad asks the question, who wins, is your dad like, good grief, sure, I'll get beat on film.
I'm going to pick my dad.
Of course.
That's who I pick.
I think your dad also was in the military, learned the whole thing, had all these karate studios, was a legendary real deal guy. I don't know what Bruce
Lee's great martial artist
background was,
but he was more
artsy. It was
artsy.
Yeah.
But it was great. You know, we met his family.
Dude, how many times have you got this question?
Which one?
Bruce Lee or your dad?
A lot. And it's always the same. I'm picking my dad. I've been on the receiving end of my dad. I know what he can do. I'll tell you a funny story. So, I'm in my early 20s. And every day, we'd work out at my dad's house at 7 a.m.
Okay.
And it was grueling. And there'd be people.
You and your brother or who?
No,
it was
karate people. My dad's security guy now. He's got a security guy that trains with him. But there's always this guy coming up, coming to his house, and this guy with an accent, and he wanted to be a martial artist. Jean-Claude Van Damme used to drive up,
come on,
get there early, come work out with my dad and all of us.
Was he a martial artist?
Great martial
before?
Artist. Yeah.
Jean-Claude
Van Damme, yeah.
He was a martial artist before he got to your dad's house.
Yeah, came to America.
He just wanted to work out with your dad.
Just wanted to work out.
Was your dad a superstar at this time?
Van
Damme is like, okay, this guy is number one in the movie in the box office for martial arts.
Yep.
I want to train underneath him. That was smart, actually, of Van Damme.
But he was there every day. He'd get up there early, kind of sleep in his car for a while. And I knew, I go, this guy's got what it takes.
More than the average guy?
More than the average guy.
Will he be starring in movies bigger than Delta Force 3?
He would for sure. But he went away with my dad to work stunts on a movie.
How tall is Jean-Claude Van Damme? He doesn't look very tall.
He's not short.
5'10", maybe?
Yeah.
He's got incredible splits.
But it was just funny, all the people that were coming around at that time to work out. And
you're working out with them.
Yeah.
Like, was Van Damme and were you guys sparring?
Oh, yeah. Well, not sparring, but my dad ran the workout. It was like my dad's show. He's always been the great white shark. Even on, like, Walker, Texas Ranger, he was the great white shark. It was his way or the highway. And in workouts, at his house, he had a big gym. It was the same thing. It was his workout, and everybody followed along for hours, 3 hours.
I was in martial arts, okay? I was in taekwondo through my 20s.
Yeah.
And I remember the same, like, we'd start at 9, but we had to get there at 8 to stretch for an hour. I actually got the splits down on all sides because we stretched for so long. And then we were running around the neighborhood of North Hollywood where that bank shooting was over there.
Oh, yeah.
And then it would go till noon.
Yeah.
And around 11:30, I was like, I have a job. I have to, I was in between jobs as an actor, so I have to go work. And my sensei would always just be a little annoyed that you'd be leaving soon. And inevitably it was, but we would always spar too. And I always had bad, like, it was like something was always going to hurt at the end of class.
One time my dad and I were sparring. It was really interesting because we never really sparred. And like all of a sudden we're sparring.
Yeah.
And we're all going around and... So here my dad and I are sparring and, you know, I...
Norris versus Norris. Norris versus,
yeah.
And you're at this age, you're...
19, 20.
Okay. And you, but you've been doing martial arts since you were 5 years old. So like that's a...
No, not really. So I kick my dad and I think my dad kicks me and I'm like, ooh, kind of hurt.
You know? Roundhouses or, yeah. or front kicks?
I don't know what it was. Yeah. And then I kicked him back.
You have
back.
The pads on the feet or nothing?
No, we're just fighting.
Okay.
And I kicked him, and next thing I know, he unloads with a combination and takes me down to the ground. I just looked back and I screamed, Mom! I was like, I was so upset because he just whooped me. I thought his kicks were getting harder.
Right.
He thought my kicks were getting harder. And he just unloaded on me. Like, it was like, just happened. And he put me on the ground so fast.
Have you ever fought him since?
Never. I wouldn't, no.
No, I mean.
I've done, not sparring, hundreds of fights with him.
You have?
Well, on Walker and the movies.
In the movie. Yeah, are you always the stunt guy that he wants to fight against? Because Walker, you were directing down. Walker. Yep. Were you in Walker too? Or did
I was
you...
in it. I was directing it. I was doing stunts. I was doing
what
everything.
What character did you play in Walker?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, like different characters or the same? Were you a regular on the show?
No. Different characters. Oh, yeah.
You as a bad guy, you would come in?
Always.
Or always the bad guy?
Oh, yeah.
And so your dad would
have a hat on in the back. You know how stunts do it.
So your dad would be the one. Was your dad always the one that would, you know?
Always.
Get a
fight. You know what? We had it down so good together. I knew how to make him look more awesome than he already is. That was always my number one thing. I want to make him look good.
I mean, for a son, like, that sounds like the best son in the world. Like, how much you admired your father, but you were never competing or felt like you had to be better than your dad.
I knew I couldn't. I really knew I couldn't. And that really translated into everything.
I mean, you've done everything in the movie industry, right? From Wright, you're very out. They're telling us to wrap up, as always. It's like
really?
Crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. But you're writing, directing, stunts, starring in such great movies as Delta Force 2 and 3. I'm kidding. There's a whole other list of how many movies you've starred in. But like, at what point in time do you ever go, oh no, I want to just do that?
You know, I never.
Or do you just love it all?
I really love it all.
You're very giving, actually. Even when I call, like, you're the great Mike Norris.
No, you're the great David A.R. White.
That's what I'm talking about, guys.
You know, like, I knew I could never be Chuck Norris, and I never tried.
Well, you're not. You're Mike Norris.
Yeah. But it's a, you know, the way I always describe my dad, it's like living in a big shadow of a big tree.
Yeah.
But I take comfort in that. You know, I don't try to fight it. I take comfort that, man, this is what I've got for a dad. I'm really so proud of him and what he's done. Not even the movies, but his charity work. What I've seen him do for people outside of all this.
Yeah.
He's an amazing, amazing man. I love him so much. I'm really proud of him.
Have you always been close to your dad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Next time we get together, I'll tell you some more great stories about him and I traveling across the country together.
Oh my gosh. Like it's okay. So that house still there today?
Still there. Looks just the same.
We need to look up that house
number
and find out who.
Number 7 Empty Saddle Lane.
Is that the actual
address? That's the address.
Number 7?
Yep. My phone number was 377-2361. I remember it. I don't know how. 213. There was no 310 at the time.
It didn't exist?
No. Nope.
It was 818 and 213?
No, 213.
Only 213. 213. Everybody in LA had a 213 number. Yep. Well, that's interesting. Yep. I didn't know that.
You didn't have to dial it or anything. It was like... It was that kind of phone.
All right. Well, Mike Norris, as always, it's a pleasure. I hope we have to have you back just to talk about your career here. But I do appreciate you sharing about your dad, who's been a legend, and all of us are fans of not only your dad, but you as well.
Yeah.
Guys,
I love you.
I love you too, brother. Thank you so much for, my gosh, he flew all the way in from Dallas. This is a rock star. Of course, he has a private jet, so but we're not going to talk
Pinnacle
about that.
Pinnacle Peak private jet.
Guys, please check us out every week on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Alexa, all the other podcasts, and also YouTube. Please go there. Please watch. You'll see incredible visuals like all of today. And on top of that, like, subscribe, and please comment, too. We love hearing from you guys of how this episode touched your life. And appreciate you, and we hope you have a great day. God bless you. See you next time.